I mean, I want to look at, go back to that first chapter. I want to look at a few things here. Let's see, where did I start at? Where is it? Okay. Okay, we're talking about the prophetic generation and how we said that there's a generation rising on the earth that's causing a flood of witnesses in heaven to rejoice. Also said, talk about the prophetic fulfillment of many of God's promises will earth themselves. Or in other words, there's been some promises that God have made about this people, this finishing generation. Now, prophecies that the prophets prophesied, Isaiah, you know, Ezekiel, they prophesied about a people that was that God was going to raise up, and those things are being fulfilled now. Now, I said to you that the all of us, every one of us, there's a prophecy that's waiting to be fulfilled in our lives. But there are some things, first of all, that's got to happen. The first thing that's going to have to happen is we're going to have to let God condition us so that we can walk in that which he's ordained. But it's not going to happen until, and that's what the apostolic is all about. It's about bringing heaven to earth government so that we understand how to function, how to flow. And as sons and daughters of God, understanding our purpose, the plan of God for our lives, and that sort of thing. So when we understand that, then we're going to be able to put ourselves in position so that the prophecy that's been prophesied of times that have passed, we are going to be the generation that's going to fulfill those prophecies. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So now, you know, we talked about how Mary, she agreed when the angel came and spoke. Now, you know, this had been prophesied that Jesus was coming for a long time, right? But the right conditions had to be favorable for it to happen at the time that it happens. Because the Bible says in the fullness of time, you know, God sent his son born of a woman, you know, and that sort of thing and stuff. And so that was a time frame that had to happen. So now I told you God had to deal with Abraham and get Abraham to cooperate with him so that he could trust him so that. Because he said, out of Abraham is going to come a mighty nation.
Yes, sir.
All right. So we said that out of Abraham came a nation, right?
Right?
Out of that nation came a family.
Right.
Out of that family came a woman.
Yes, sir.
Out of that woman came the Messiah, right?
Yes, sir.
So all things had to be in place. Mary had to be at a certain place in her life so that she could fulfill the prophecy that was that God had already spoken over her life years ago. So there are some things that God wants to do in our lives, but we have to allow God to process us and carry us through the things that we need to go through in order to get there. So we said that all God has been saying to us about our destiny and assignment here on earth can come into immediate operation if we become yielded to the processes of God's dealings on our lives. So, we have to be honest, first of all, with ourselves.
Yes, sir.
We all have had some kind of ways about ourselves.
Yes, yes, yes.
That really, you know, I know in my own life, there's some things that God had to shake. He had to shake me loose from before he could really, you know, before I could really. I remember years before I started pastoring, I was going through a series of things, and you know, God spoke to me. God said, "I'm preparing you for something that you can't handle right now."
Yes, sir.
And so I couldn't handle pastoring at the time, but through the process of what God carried me through. See, because, you know, I came out of the street, so I was, you know, crazy as a bat. and I had this mentality that if you did me something, oh, I'm going to get you.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So all these things, God had to work all that out of me. Just think about it, if I was pastoring now and I had that same stuff in me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. It'd be some people, their houses would be burned down. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, they say, wow, we don't know what happened. We just came and it was up in flames. But God had to work those things out. God had to, you know, the anger problem, just the bad attitude and that sort of thing and stuff. And so I tell people about how, you know, I kept, God showed me the scripture about humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time. So I'm reading the scripture. Humble yourself. I say, Lord, humble me. God said, no, read it again. Bible said, humble yourself under the mighty. I said, okay, God, humble me. He said, no, read it again. I'm reading. He said, no. He said, it says, humble yourself.
Right.
I said, Lord, humble my. He said, yeah, I allow you to get in a place where you'll be humiliated.
Right.
But you're going to be the one that's going to have to humble yourself.
Yes, sir.
See what I'm saying? So I used to go to this place all the time and get hasashi po' boys. And every time I go there, this lady would be in there, and she was just as mean as she could be, boy. I tell her how I want. I wanted it a certain way. And she said, and she'll fix it another way. And then I said, ma'am, no, I didn't say I wanted it like that. You need to make your mind up. People in line and stuff, everybody look. And see, when I'm in the street, you ain't not going to handle me like this. Look behind me, and people back there, you know, sniggling and stuff. And God said, what you going to do? You going to shut up or blow up? How you going to handle this?
Yeah.
And so I'm there with tears in my eyes. I said, ma'am, just give it to me like that. Just give me what you got. You know, and through a breaking, God, just had to be broken. You know, I tell about the story of a war horse. A war horse, you know, is used for war, right?
Yes, sir.
So there's a lot of whenever they're in battle, the war horse got to be in a position where he's not startled by gunfire or anything like that, right?
Right.
Okay, now you may have some horses that's in a stable that is more athletic, more physical than those that are trained. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But they're not broken.
Right, right, right.
So until they get broken, they're no good.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So until we allow God to break us, we really are no good for him to use us.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? You got to get to the point to where you don't even care if somebody, Brother Hagin used to say this, if somebody wrote something bad about him and it was in the newspaper, he wouldn't even read it. But boy, we got to see what they're saying about us. Let me check out Facebook. What they saying on Instagram. Somebody said something. You got to say something back. You got to. God say, no, no. Let me go a little further. I want to show you, because there's some things that we have to allow God to purify us of. All right. God is raising up a significant company of believers across the earth who will not abort their prophetic journey, because the word of God is pulsating in their hearts. They possess the dreams of God in their hearts. The freedom and the liberty of the Holy Spirit we'll have among us, will be significant, because this new generation that is rising, this finishing generation, not somebody who just start, but somebody who go the whole hall.
Yes, sir.
Go the whole way, not worrying about, you know, see, because in this thing, we're going to have to be corrected. We're going to have to be challenged and that sort of thing and stuff. And most people quit when you start challenging them.
Yes,
yeah, they quit. So this generation will have the faith to believe and will desire its accurate fulfillment. Hallelujah. All right. In Hebrews 3:12, I want to go there right quick. Hebrews 3:12. Hebrews 3. All right. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see that?
Yes,
a evil heart of unbelief. So unbelief is in your heart. How many of you know your heart is evil? All right. So then he goes off and say this. He said, but exalt one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, I want you to remember that that part right there. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, because I'm gonna come back to that, and I'm gonna say a few things about it. All right. So now the greatest exodus is about to happen. Not the exodus of out of Egypt or Babylon, but an exodus out of religion and religious institutions. People tired of religion. And see, and what God is doing, God is raising up men and women who's going to allow him to display his power through them.
Yes, sir.
Who is going to walk, you know, I am I'm taken a lot of times by Christians who, it seems like they don't even know God. And I'm saying, my God. But the generation that I'm talking about is people who get to know God.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about to get to know God. I'm talking about people who spend time fellowshipping, people who spend time communing with God.
Yes, sir.
People who spend time, you know, you can't do it without his presence. You know, you got to sneak away from everybody just to get along with God.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? There's a hunger, there's a thirst, you know, for more of God. So God is raising up a generation of people who's going to really show forth his glory in the earth and understand that all that God is doing through them is God and it's not them.
Right.
You understand? So you got to get over you. So God going to move these living bricks. You know, the guy was talking about in his dream, talking about these bricks factories, brick factories, and how these they were going to be making these bricks and stuff. But these bricks had to be moved over into by trucks, and they had to be carried out to other places. Now, watch this. Pastor, watch it. You can identify with this. There's times when God will prepare people somewhere else to help you. Y'all with me? People who already have been trained, people who've already that know how to flow. You with me? And God will use them to help. So there are people, some of you right now, you're in this class and you're going to the school of ministry and God is preparing you for something greater.
Yes,
y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And you may not understand all that God is doing and why God has sent you to the school, but God is sending you. You've been prepared. You've been prepared because God is building a church. He's building this. The Bible talks about this, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ being his cornerstone. But how many of you know we're the lively stone, we're the bricks to this building. You with me? And so whenever a masoner, a bricklayer is laying bricks, some bricks have to be cut in order to fit. You with me? So there are times. That's why we have to be, we have to put ourselves in a position where we are in tune to the Spirit of God. See, how many ever, you know, you ever told God, Lord, shape me, mold me, and make me, you know, you prayed and stuff. And then God used your pastor to cut, to get you to fit. Got to cut you. So I'm going to another church. I'm not staying here. And see, this is what I'm saying. See, you can't finish like that.
Right.
You can't quit. You can't cave in. God is raising up a people that's going to have, they're going to have tenacity. They're going to be strong, and they're not going to give up under pressure.
Yes, sir.
And so that's what Apostle is trying to build in the men and women that's in this school, and the men and women of God that he's been called to father. You understand what I'm saying? And see, a whole lot of folk don't understand how to walk in sonship and how to be a daughter. You understand? Because they think that there's somebody who trying to be superior over them. See, all through the Word of God, God always used somebody in order to train other folk.
Right.
All you got to do is read the Bible. You look there, you'll see that was a Joshua where there was a Moses.
Yes, sir.
You with me? Everywhere that God, God always trained a person to take over. So the apostolic is about succession, is about passing the baton, is about preparing one generation for the next generation.
Yes,
it's about keeping what God has put in the earth, because I say God don't want to continue to raise up people every generation to carry out an assignment. So we have to carry it from generation to generation. Y'all with me here?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So now, so he said he has redeemed and fashioned these bricks toward the builders. He has raised and assigned to build his house. These builders are apostolic pastors. See, watch this. I'm not an apostle,
right,
but I'm an apostolic pastor.
Right.
Because I'm submitted to an apostle. You with me? So I'm wearing the apostolic because my dad's an apostle. So that's some things that's happening in my life and in my ministry. It is a direct connection between because of my connections. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm not trying to do something different from what he's doing. All I'm doing, you know, let me. I was on an airplane. We was going somewhere. So I had this guy. He's passed out of Florida. So they bumped him up, the first class. So he sat right beside me. And so the guy went to ask him. He saw this ring. So he said, "You must be a pastor, a bishop or something." I said, "No, I said I'm a pastor." He said, "Oh, okay." And so he told me he was a pastor and that kind of thing and stuff. So he told me about his engagements. He told me how many engagements he have a year. He said, "Man, do you know my preaching engagements, man, I get, you know, about $150,000 a year." I wonder why he's telling me this. So he asked me, he said, "Why do you travel?" I said, "I travel. I follow my spiritual father around." He said, "You don't preach?" I said, "No, I just follow him." He said, man, do you know the money that you could be making if you were preaching? I said, "How much you say you was getting for preaching?" He said, "About $150,000 a year." You know, I told him, I said, "Nah, I didn't want to bust his bubble. I didn't want to hurt his feeling." But, you know, he wanted to make it look like what he was doing was the right way to do it. So I said this to him. I said, "Man, I said, can I be honest with you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I only follow, you know, my apostle." I said, and last year, I said, "I got way more double than that."
Right.
He said, "Do I preach it?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "We don't go after money. Money come after us." He said, hold on. "Who's your apostle?" I said, "Dr. Leroy Thompson." He said, "You think you can get into my church?" see, I'm gonna show y'all. I mean, this is a connection is a powerful thing. You know, for camp meeting, you know, we gave Apostle $1 million, $1,008,000. All right, for my celebration, you know, the church gave me over
$200,000.
You know what I'm saying? So, but watch this. I'm pushing apostle agenda.
Right. Yeah.
So God raising up people to push my agenda.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? And the thing about it is that, and see, if you're playing games, there ain't no way in the world God could bless you like
right.
that.
That's right. That's right.
But, my point is, because I want people who that's in school, that's on the internet and stuff, and you know, you think you're gonna get it by, you know, running behind, you know, engagements and that sort of thing and stuff. And all you gotta do is just obey God. Just do what God say. Follow properly, connect properly, and guess what? You're not gonna ever have a need.
That's right.
You're not gonna ever have a need. That's just the way God got it set up. You with me? So these apostolic pastors who have received the mandate and the blueprints to build accurate a house that cannot be shaken or taken. You know, I'm real proud of the people that my members. I know I got 30-something members in school.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and I don't know how many has been through the school, but what I want them to do is, I want them to help me to accomplish the goal that God has put in the vision that God has given me by following. I want them to follow who I'm following.
Yes, sir.
I want them to be around the anointing. See, Apostle is right here 25 minutes from. I don't sit around and say, well, man, I don't want to connect with him because my members going to go down there. They're going to come down here anyway. They're going to come. They're coming down here with me because I'm going to bring them. You understand what I'm saying? But you got so many people. And years ago, when I was at another church, I wanted to come to school down here, and the pastor, oh, no, you don't need to go down there. Oh, they was afraid for some reason. I don't know. But I know now. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. So many pastors and leaders have been enticed to build big and quick. Now, I want to say something about that. Sometimes, Pastor, this is one of the other things that I fell into. I fell into a trap. With other preachers, they were trying to look successful.
Yes, sir.
You had to drive a certain kind of car to look successful.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, they was until God started. Oh, God said, "No, you can't." God said, "When you compare yourself with yourself, that's not wise." So, God said, "Man, you got to get rid of that old Rolex, man. Get you a Presidential." I said, "What? This one keep good time." Oh, man, no, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to compete with anybody. You understand what I'm saying? So fast growth is not always healthy growth. If you don't believe me, man, you go down there to the chicken farm. They're hitting them up with them antibiotics and stuff just so that they can blow up quick. But the thing about it, they're not healthy. You with me? So many times we're trying to compete with each other. So we're trying to grow big and better and this kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that within itself. But when the motive is wrong, that's when it's wrong. OK, now watch this. OK, I'm an ex-seaman finisher. So I understand in order to build a skyscraper, you got to go deeper. You have to dig deeper in the ground. You have to have more, you have to have steel, you have to have all kind of stuff down in there, because in order for you to go up high, you got to go down low.
Yeah.
All right? So now, watch this. And this is going to deliver you from ever trying to compete with anybody, anything. Watch this. So I pulled this job over on Essen Lane, and it was going to be a big old tall building. So right over next to it, they were pouring another. It was a one-story building at the same time, all right? So when they're building this building at the same time when we pouring this. So we started at 12 o'clock midnight. I left at 3 o'clock the next evening, and the job wasn't finished yet. I was just tired. And so the other guys, they started like about 7 that morning, and they was through for about 12. Now, I helped them finish pouring the slab, which was about 3 o'clock. So they had to work up until about, I guess, 6 or 7 to finish everything. All right. So now I passed down there a week or so later. And this building over here is framed up. This building over here, they still working on stuff down in the ground. A month passed by. This building over here is just about finished. This building here don't have the steel standing up yet. Somebody could say, well, they have done this and they got this completed and all this, and I'm still right here. You got to understand, there's times when God is going to do something greater with you. And so you cannot be comparing what's over here, because it's going to take a little longer for you. Because God is going to carry you higher.
Right. Yes,
But if you begin to compare yourself, man, I just got tired, crying about this and crying about that. Don't seem like I'm growing. I don't seem like, just be patient. Just watch God. Just keep on doing what God has told you to do, and you're going to start seeing. So this building over here is open for business. This building right here, they just putting a steel up. All right. This building here is already functioning, making, having business, making money and everything. This building right here, they still spending money.
Yes, sir.
But when that bad boy got up,
yes, sir.
It was a magnificent building. And it made the one over here look like it didn't even exist.
Yes,
but it took time.
Yes,
there's time when God will allow you to go through the slow process, but he's building a healthy ministry.
Yes, sir.
He's building people that's vibrant, people who really love God, people who not playing games and that sort of thing.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So when we force growth and choose abnormal growth, we run the risk of having the flesh and ultimately demonic spirits housed in that which we are building. You know, we got all kind of, y'all don't throw no rocks at me when I say this. They got some churches, they got so many homosexuals in there running things. You know what I'm saying? Man, come on. You know, I believe in the grace of God. But grace is not a license to sin. It's not a license to sin. You know, man, you know, homosexuals on the keyboard, homosexuals over here directing the choir, praise the Lord. Somebody said, well, the homosexuals got to have somewhere to go. Yeah, they can sit in the pews.
Yes.
And get their life together. You understand? All right, okay, now don't y'all throw no rocks at me. Don't throw no rocks at me. If you throw something at me, I'm going to duck. Praise God. Hallelujah. So those who have been holding on to the truth and the convictions of the Holy Spirit will not lose out on the best. Let's look at this right quick in Isaiah 59 and 13. Isaiah 59, 13. 59, 13. All right. Hold on a minute here. Okay, here it is. 59 and 13, it says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking opposition, oppression, and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Okay, now there's times when even when you are trying to, you know, do what God has called you to do, how many of you know it look like you get persecuted more for standing for righteousness,
than
a person who's doing something in and everything, and it just seems like things going good. But you got to hold your course. And got to know that God is looking for containers and not entertainers.
Yes,
God is looking for somebody he can pour into so that they can deliver something. See, it's one thing to stand before people and begin to minister to them. Some people can minister real elegant, but when there's no power, there's no change in people's lives, then all that is a bunch of rumble.
Yes, sir.
We're about change. Changing people's life. Change is the product of human effort sustained by divine help.
Yes, sir.
God won't change in our life. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So God is releasing these bricks that is already, I got a few more minutes, that's already cut, fashioned, and designed, and they are coming toward the houses that have been accurately aligned to apostolic patterns.
Yes,
see, now God is raising up people. See, at one time, in a traditional church, you go to church. Everybody got something. You know, this person, you know, they got cliques in the church. They got this group. They got this family trying to run this and this, you know, all kind of foolishness. But how many of you know when you really got real order, you don't have none of that chaos. You have none of that foolishness. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, apostles don't have that here.
That's right.
We don't have any world shakers.
No.
No, we don't have that. We don't have that because we're about God's purposes.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? So our goal is to glorify God and to give God an entry into the earth realm through vessels that he's prepared and he's preparing. And so that's why we have to put ourselves in a position so that God can condition us and prepare us. We welcome the apostolic invasion of God into the church. It is his sovereign coming into the temple that will cause the new generation to be revealed. Let's look at right quick. Let's look at Malachi 3:3. It is his coming into his church that will cleanse the leadership and bring about acceptance and wholeness among the people. My goodness. Malachi 3:3. It said, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. My God. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. All right. Now, he's talking about purifying as refiners. OK, he said refiner of gold. Now, then it talks about purifying the sons of Levi. So what he's talking about, he's talking about the priesthood. So the Bible talks about us being a priesthood. Now, you got to understand the old prophet at that time did not have New Testament terminology. So he couldn't say the church because the church hadn't been born yet.
Right.
But that's what he's talking about, the church. You understand? So God is trying to purify the church. Now, so he said he's going to set as a refiner of fire. Then he says purify of gold and silver. Now, I'm reminded about what God is trying to do is God is trying to put us in a position to where he's purifying our hearts.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. So now purifying is gold. Now, gold is rarely found in its purest state. Gold is mainly found with other impurities like iron, nickel, copper, that sort of thing. All right. So now, and that mixture is called alloy. So alloy is really when it's mixed with gold. Gold is all right. Gold in its purest state is soft. It's pliable. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. But when these other metals are added to it, how many of you know it becomes hard?
Yes, sir.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Stick with me. So it's hard. So now what God is making a parallel. He's making a parallel because he's going to purify the Christians, but he's going to purify our hearts.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
So now you've seen brass, right?
Yes, sir.
It resembles gold,
right,
but it tarnishes. Because, you know, it's zinc and it's other iron. So it's highly corrosive.
Right.
But gold is not.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So what God does is, God, in the way gold is purified, gold is, first of all, it's crushed in the powder. It's crushed in the powder. Then they add a substance called flux. And they put it in an intense heat. They put it in the oven. They put it in intense heat. And once they put it in that heat, it begins to melt. You with me?
Yes, sir.
And so with the flux that's been added, see, this is how they purify it. With the flux that's been added, what happens is all of the metals and things that are in the gold, they rise to the top.
Yes,
where the gold is heavy, it goes to the bottom. Now, why is that? What's the significance of this? It's the same way, see, a heart that's pure is pliable.
Yes, sir.
It's teachable.
Yes, sir.
It's tender.
Yes, sir.
So now that scripture that I told you in Hebrews 3:13, it talks about the hardness through the deceitfulness of sin, right?
Right.
So sin is what caused our hearts to be hardened.
Yes, sir.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
So now, what happens with a hard heart? A hard heart loses its sensitivity to the voice of God.
Yes, sir.
No longer can they hear God the way they once did.
Yes, sir.
So what God does, God said that I'm going to have to purify your heart. How does, what does God use to purify our hearts? He used trials and tests.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, anybody ever went through something and you going through something and man, you just mean as a junkyard dog.
Yes, sir.
You know, you've been praying, you've been asking God, Lord, take away this attitude I got and all this. And all of a sudden look like it gets worse.
Yes,
you get in a situation and it gets worse.
Yes,
and you wonder, God, I've been praying for. God said, no, that's what the trial that you're going through is for.
Right.
Because when the heat is on, the gold is going to come to, watch this, y'all. The gold is going to come to the bottom, and that the stuff that caused the heart to become hard, it began to rise to the top.
Yeah.
Now, watch this. When you start seeing that attitude, when you start seeing yourself going off and doing certain things, you're going to have to say, Lord, I need some help with this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, it's rising to the top, but you got to admit it.
Right.
You can't be putting it on everybody else.
Right.
You can't be putting it on your wife. You can't be putting it on your husband. You can't be putting it on this one. You can't put it on your job. You can't put it on a white man. You can't put it on a Chinese man. You can't put it on nobody.
Yes.
You have to take responsibility and say, "This, Lord, I need some help."
Yes,
right. So I see exactly what's going on, but now this. Because it's on the top. Now it's got to be skinned off the top.
Yes,
God is trying to get that out of your life.
Yes,
so that he can really use you.
Yes,
to his glory.
Yes,
my God. And so you wonder sometimes, why am I going through this trial? What is something? God said, here you are, you know, you going to cussing. You understand what I'm saying? God said, that's the thing I've been trying to get out of you. That's it right there. That's it right there. Now, you got to admit that I need help. I need deliverance from this.
Yes, sir.
It's in the fiery trials when this stuff is really rising. Watch. Can I help you?
Yes, sir.
See, you can't see impurities in gold.
Come on, that's right.
Unless fire has been put on it.
Yes, sir.
And then once the fire has been put on it, then the impurities begin to come to the top. It's not until the fire of God, it's not until the trials, it's not until the tests that God allow us to go through, which begin to show us our attitudes, begin to show us how mean and insensitive we become. And then we can recognize it, and we're not blaming on nobody. Say, Lord, it ain't my mom, it ain't my dad, it ain't my sister. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. I need prayer. I need something. You understand what I'm saying? God said, this is the position that I've been trying to get you in. While you see you, you know, you can see everybody else, but you can't see you. But God said, now, now you can see you. And because you can see you now, I can help to remove that off of you so that you can walk in that all that I've ordained for your life. And I am out of time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.